set our hearts to remain faithful. And these are days in which every force of hell and earth are set against that. Just the very first verse of Isaiah. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem, Isaiah 1:1, that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Today I want to talk about in it for the long haul. And I want to talk about Isaiah and how he is very much like we are today and how we must learn from his example. Isaiah began his ministry at the end of the reign of King Uzziah. Now we know several things about King Uzziah. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we learn some very important things about Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. He began his reign as a young man, and in the aging of those days, he ended it as an old man. There were many people of his day who never knew another king except Uzziah. We also know, verse 4, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought the Lord, he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. We know about him that not only was he a long reigning king, but he was a king who sought the Lord. There are not a lot of that today, but Isaiah had the privilege of growing up in a land where the leadership and many of the people were seeking the Lord, and where the fear of the Lord was honored. Sadly, it did not end well for Uzziah. Verse 16 tells us this, 2 Chronicles 26, 16. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Could it not be said of us that our pride is the foundation of our downfall? That we have been a people who have lived on the pride of what God did through us miraculously, often not by us, but through us. There is a subtle difference. We have become filled with pride as Uzziah was. And Isaiah began his ministry in the downward slope of Uzziah's prideful end. He watched as all that was good began to be tarnished by pride and arrogance. Says in verse 19, Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, he went into the temple to sacrifice to the Lord. And the priests, notice what it says, verse 18, before we start. He went into the temple at 17. Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted him and said, "It's not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God. And there are so many today pushing in, thinking that they have every right to push in and do what they're not called to do. Verse 19, Uzziah, who had the censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. It has troubled me greatly how many people today seem motivated by anger. We see it in the politics of our day, these angry rallies and the violence at these rallies, and seemingly how political leaders feed off of that anger and creating that anger. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. James tells us in James chapter 1. God punished Uzziah, it says, while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. God's punishment was immediate. And God never healed him. Verse 21 says, King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. There are some roads that we start down, there is no escape from them and from their consequences. But Isaiah went on, and Isaiah had the privilege of being part of a three-generational work of God. Notice where we began today in 2 Chronicles 26:4. It said, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah was the second generation of godly leadership. Notice what it says in 2 Chronicles 27, and this is so rare. Jothan was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. Can you imagine? There were three generations in a row of godly kings. Three generations. It is unprecedented in the whole rest of the Bible. And Isaiah got to be a part of that. And he had his ministry prophesying for those 16 years of Jotham's ministry. And notice what it says in verse 6. Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. Have you ever experienced heady times of victory when it seems that Christ's kingdom is growing and expanding and coming to flower and fruition? Isaiah had those heady times of victory during the life of Jotham. He got to see the power of the words that he preached from the Lord being acted upon and people actually doing what God said. Oh, those must have been joyous days. But I want you to notice that there were only 16 years of them. You know, no matter how heady our days of victory, they always come to an end. No matter how much we reach some mountaintop, even as a group, they always come to an end. And they did. If you turn to 2 Chronicles 28, we begin to speak about Jotham's replacement, his son, Ahaz. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. Now that means he had been a young boy of 4 years old when his father took the throne. He had seen the wonder of all God did in his father's life. He had seen the good days. He had experienced them for all of his lifetime. He reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and also made cast idols for worshiping the Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and sacrificed his sons in the fire. He burned alive his own sons. Following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. And it goes on with all the evil that he did. Isaiah had to watch as all the good of three generations. And you know, we live in days just like that today. We live in the days when the godliness of the previous generations are being undone by godless people who follow the detestable ways of the nations. I want you to understand that Isaiah remained faithful through those years of defeat and agony. Then Isaiah had the joy of living through the years of revival. 2 Chronicles 29 tells us that Ahaz was not the final word. And you know, I believe that way too many of us have given up. I talk to people and they go, well, I don't see any hope. And that is not of God. Those 16 years of defeat under Jotham. Notice, go back just again. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 28. Therefore, the Lord his God handed him over to the king of Aram. The Arameans defeated him. Took many of his people as prisoners and brought them to Damascus. He was also given to the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted heavy casualties on him. In one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 soldiers in Judah because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of the What a terrible price was paid. And I can imagine there were people that were saying, that's it, we're done. God has turned his hand against us. It's all over. But Isaiah remained faithful. And he saw the years of revival. 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years, almost 30 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. And we all know the story about how he went in and cleaned up the temple, held the Passover. Those were days of miracles. 2 Chronicles 32 recounts how Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came down and besieged Jerusalem after wiping out Israel, after wiping out the fortified cities of Judah. The people fled to Jerusalem, and there behind the walls of Jerusalem, They endured a siege that lasted for years. And they cried out to God, and Hezekiah took the letter that Sennacherib had sent him, saying, "Your God can't deliver you. The God of the Israelites didn't do it. The God of the Aram didn't do it. The God of the Philistines didn't do it. Who do you think you are that your God?" And Hezekiah and Isaiah took that scroll into the temple and they threw it down and they said, "Their God, that's what they've said about you. The battle's yours. What are you going to do about it?" And in 2 Chronicles 32, here's what God did about it. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20. Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, 2 Chronicles 32, 20, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land in disgrace. And when he went into the temple of his God, some of his sons cut him down with a sword. Oh, God did miracles in those days. And Isaiah lived to see those days. And he saw Hezekiah end badly. He saw Hezekiah just like his great-grandfather. I'm sorry, just like his grandfather, he saw him filled with pride. Turn from following wholeheartedly. And in verse 24 of Second Chronicles 32, 2 Chronicles 32, 24, it says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. And he prayed to the Lord, who answered him, gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud." Oh, Hezekiah didn't understand that God wanted to save him from his pride. Had Hezekiah gone home when God called him, he would have ended at the high point of his life. Oh, but he failed. And Isaiah had to watch as Hezekiah, in his pride, bragged of all he had to the ambassadors of Babylon and lost it all. And then Hezekiah lived through the early days of Manasseh. If you noticed what it says in Isaiah 1, that his prophecy was through Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. His prophecies were recorded up through the end of Hezekiah's reign, but he lived into Manasseh's day. And in the pseudepigraphal book, The Martyrdom of Isaiah, written about 200 BC, it describes how Isaiah died. Isaiah, when Manasseh became king, left Jerusalem. And he took some of the prophets, and they went and they lived on a hill outside of Bethlehem of Judea. I wondered why they lived in Bethlehem. Perhaps they'd received the word, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are not the least, for out of you will come the ruler of my people Israel." Maybe they were looking for Messiah to come in those dark days of Manasseh. But he continued to speak out against the evil done Manasseh. And Manasseh sent soldiers and captured him and brought him back to Jerusalem. And they laid him on a table and got out a saw. And as the The false prophets were standing around him mocking and laughing. And you know, often we say, why does God allow me to be humiliated in front of my enemies? Why doesn't God rise up in his power and defend me? God did not defend Isaiah. And they took the blessed word of God and used it against Isaiah. And a man stood up and testified against Isaiah and said, quoting from Isaiah 6, Isaiah claims to see God, but Moses said no one can see God and live. He is a false prophet. Kill him. And Isaiah was killed on the testimony of the false prophets for being a false prophet. As they brought the saw out and set it to his stomach and got ready to cut, one of the false prophets came forward and said, if you will simply renounce your words and declare that Manasseh, the ways of Manasseh are good, you will leave here in great honor. Just say, homosexuality is okay. Just say the uncivil discourse of these current politicians is okay. Just say it's all right for a person on the verge of being indicted to run for president. It's okay. People will listen to you. That's what they said to them. You'll be honored by the people. And you know, there's a lot of people today that have bought that. Why? And the gospel is changed to appeal to the people. And then the pseudepigraphal book, The Martyrdom of Isaiah, says that then Isaiah looked at them and steadfastly refused, and as they began to saw him in half, gazed into heaven and saw a vision of God, and died communing with the Holy Spirit. Now you say, that's not in the Bible. No, but Hebrews 11:37 is. Hebrews 11:37 is, and Hebrews 11 quotes from the martyrdom of Isaiah and says, and some of them were sawn in half, referring to Isaiah. I want to end today with just three quick thoughts. How is it that Isaiah could make it through the long term? How could Isaiah hold on to the end? How could Isaiah go through the ups and the downs and the ups again and the downs again? How could he make it through victories that didn't last and defeats that seemed to last forever? That sound familiar to you? How did he do it? I want to say, there were three things. Number one, he experienced God. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. We need to experience the Lord. And once is never enough. We need to re-experience Him. The entirety of the book of Isaiah is, and the Lord sent me a vision. The Lord spoke to me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. We need to hear from God. Now, we've been talking for many weeks about how today God speaks to us. It's not necessarily through visions. It's through this book. But we need to experience God. You will not survive in the long term without experiencing God. And some of you know this, but I don't know that you believe it. Often the first time we experience Him, it's unsought. He seeks us, not we seek Him. But after that, in the days following that, it is most often He requires that we seek Him rather than He seek us. Hosea said, it is time that we seek the Lord until He comes. Seek for the Lord while He still may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Second of all, from the very beginning, Isaiah understood forgiveness. I had a professor one time that said that, well, Isaiah's ministry, Isaiah 6 is the beginning of Isaiah's ministry. It's just put later in the book. That is a patent lie, because Isaiah 6 talks about the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. But Isaiah 1 said he prophesied during the reign of Uzziah. So his prophecies began while Uzziah was still alive. Before Uzziah died, in those days when Uzziah, through his pride, was going downhill, Isaiah understood forgiveness. And we need to understand God's forgiveness. Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. So often, in dark days, we feel our failure, and our failure leads us to this thing of, I have nothing to say, I have nothing to do, I have nothing, oh, I just need to stay away from God. No, God says, in your failure, run to me. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. One of the things that Satan tries to get us to do is forsake seeking forgiveness. Oh, you've asked too many times. You've asked, you've gone too far. You have any shred of conviction calling you to repent, then do it. Don't allow your heart to be hardened even one little bit more. Run to Jesus now. God doesn't despise that. He invites it. He says, come. Though your sins are as red as they can be, last of all, number three, he didn't follow the crowd. When Jerusalem went from the Jerusalem of Hezekiah to the Jerusalem of Manasseh, when the temple went from the temple of Hezekiah to the temple of Manasseh, when the people went from following the God of the Bible, the God of Hezekiah, to the wicked demons of Manasseh, he withdrew and walked his own path. He didn't stay in the midst of the sin and wickedness. I was talking to a person, or overheard a conversation of a person the other day, who claims to be a Christian, part of a church, on some ministry team of some kind or another, or several of them, talking about how wonderful the bars are. Well, I love going to the bars, but it's time that God's people took a stand for righteousness. Isaiah withdrew, and he went on to the place where he could gather with those people who were faithful. And he took his stand for Christ. We need to, too. We've been set an example, and oh, what an example it is. What a wondrous example we've been given of a man who, for a very, very, very long time, had the privilege of walking with God through the highs and the lows. And you can have that same privilege today. But you need to set your heart for the long haul. Let's bow together. Oh God. What an example. You've said in the Word of God that everything that was written in the New Testament was written for our benefit as warnings and examples to us. Oh Lord, what an example we have in the person of Isaiah. Oh, that he was in it for the long haul, through the good years, the Jotham years, the Hezekiah years, but also through the bad years, the Ahaz years, the Manasseh years. And even though he was maligned in his own generation, lying prophets accused him of crimes and executed him, now over 2,000, almost 3,000 years later, his ministry is still exonerated because you were with him. Oh God, may we in these days, which are days just like ones he faced, may we be as faithful as he was. In Jesus' name.